Welcome to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, City View Church. Man, I love life. I just love seeing life. People walk around saying hi, but hey, good morning to you. Man, if you did not get to get a picture at our photo booth or that living room, that, man, our hello team, if you don't know Tori, and if you have not met, she and set up a living room outside for family pictures. If you've not gotten a family picture yet, make sure you get one. You're like, I didn't come with my family, I'm by myself. Take a selfie by yourself because it looks really good. I'll be in your picture with you. So just go grab me. I'll get in your picture. But it's beautiful. It's like, I love it outside. It's like home because that's our heart. We want you to feel like you're home when you're here. You welcome and you belong no matter where you came from, no matter what went on last week. You belong here. Welcome home. But hey, good morning. We are starting a new series today called Life Hacks. And I didn't realize that some people didn't know what life hacks were. Life hacks are sort of like those cheat things that we do to, some of you probably do it already. You didn't know it actually had a detail. It's like taking a bucket in your garage and when people put like ice cubes and the fan on it, and then it all of a sudden turns like a fake air conditioner things, or you learn that your phone can do things that you didn't realize your phone could do. I mean, I watch all those videos and I tell people, and you know, there's just little life hacks. And you know, we're all trying to figure out life. We all are. Doesn't matter whether you're 15 or 80, we're all still trying to work through, figure out life and figure out, okay, God, or whatever, whether you believe in God or not, you're trying to figure out, okay, what's next? How do I do this? And you know, we want to make our life better. We want to make our life easier. And if you're anything like me, I sometimes want to make my life healthier. Somehow, it's not, you can't do that around Easter. And you just make excuses. Well, okay, I'll wait till after Easter. And then you've got like another holiday and then another holiday. Like, I got to get into my bikini bod. You know, I struggle with the same thing. I got to get into that too. I was going to buy new shirts. I don't know who they make shirts for anymore because I know I wear a large, but man, I don't anymore. And I put on a large. I'm like, honey, how does it look? She goes, it looks good. I go, well, can you go get me an extra large then, I guess? Because I was shopping at like one of those younger person stores. Large people there are actually not large. They're like smalls. And so you just feel judged trying on clothes in those stores. You feel judged. Not adequate. I don't know, it has nothing to do with my message, it's just where I'm at right now. So, life hacks, how to be happy with your body. But you know, we're all trying to figure out life. You know, and I don't know if you guys are anything like me, but I've found myself many times just not satisfied with life. It's easy to be distracted, unsatisfied, and wanting more. Have you ever heard that statement that where people say, hey, what's eating you? And you just, people are looking at you, your friends, you go to work or wherever it is, and people can tell you're chewing on something in life. People can tell there's something going on, there's something wrong, and they say, what's eating at you? What's going on in your life? And usually there's something going on, and as I was thinking about that, I was reminded of this movie called What's Eating Gilbert Grape. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that movie, but it's about this guy named Gilbert, and he sort of hates life. He resents his mom, resents his brother, special needs brother. His mom is a very, very large woman. He resents her because she's sort of an embarrassment to the entire family. And he just hates it. He had a girlfriend that she was cheating on him with, and all this. It was a hot mess. And he sort of just tried to walk away from life, wanted nothing to do with it anymore, walked away from life, but realized, I can't be satisfied with walking away from life. So he finally came home, and he went to his brother, Arnie, and he said, I'm sorry. Well, his brother's special needs, and with the limited ability, his brother was able to say, I forgive you. You see, I fully believe that true life is found in forgiveness. True life is found in forgiveness. And that's when he finally was able to experience true life. I think you can only live when you have experienced forgiveness from God. And I believe forgiveness in God is only found when you realize that he loves you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for today. God, I know that today you have people at churches all over the valley hearing about you. And Lord, I can't wait to hear about my friends Caleb over at Desert Bible. I can't wait to hear from my friend Andrew over at Cross Church and Jackie at Cross Church Surprise and Brian and Cody and Mike and Jason at Valley Life Churches and Brett over at Mountain Ridge and Monty at Happy Valley. Lord, my friends are preaching everywhere, Lord, today. And God, I can't wait to hear their stories about lives changed, because that's what you do. Jesus, when you stepped into earth, you changed everything. And Lord, I know there are some of us in here today that we're here because grandma guilted us to coming. Mom made me come. Whatever reason, Lord, I pray that today we would be here and we would hear how much you love us. God, I ask that you'd speak to us at City View this morning in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Well, hey, my name is Jeremiah. I'm the pastor here at City View Church, so I'd like to say welcome. If you're joining us online, I'd like to say welcome to you as well. Yeah, I want to tell you a story that I heard about this man named David. And David was given this struggling, no-good business. It was a manufacturing company, and David was handed this business. It was about to go under, but he saw hope. He saw a future in it. He was a young guy, and he took it over, and he started really pouring his time into it. He poured everything he had into this business. The business became a multi-million dollar business. But see, the problem was he did this at the expense of his family. He did things as a husband and as a father that no husband or father should ever do. He allowed things as a husband and father that husbands and fathers should not allow. He was a terrible dad, and really he was a terrible in so many other ways, but he was able to make this business successful. His son resented him for it. His son hated him for it. You see, his son allowed unforgiveness and all these things to eat him up on the inside. If you were to ask his son, hey, what's going on? What's eating you? And he'd say, I hate my dad. I hate my dad. And so this young man hated his dad, and one day he tried getting a meeting with his dad because his dad had no time with him at home. And so he said, hey, can I meet with my dad? And multiple times over and over, no, your dad is too busy. And so finally, one day he went to work and he started making friends with the men on the floor. One by one, he stole the hearts of the men. Until every man on that floor loved him more than they liked working for his dad. And then he stole the hearts of middle management until the board of directors of the business said, you know what, David, you're fired. Your son, he's got the job. And his dad is kicked out of the business. You see, that story actually comes from the Bible. Place in 2 Samuel. Picks it up in chapter 14. It's about this king named King David, the greatest king Israel ever had. And his son was Absalom. You see, David was the greatest king the people of Israel ever had. They still adore David to this day. They still adore his grave, and they can go to his grave, and they know where his bones are, and they go there. In a way, they worship that spot because David was the greatest king. But you see, his son Absalom was so full of bitterness, hate, and resentment and unforgiveness towards his father. He hated his dad because his dad was a terrible dad. He allowed things to happen. He allowed things to happen to his daughter that should never have happened. He allowed things that his son did. It was terrible. If you can think of bad things that happened in homes, it was that home. And Absalom hated his dad. Hated him with every bit of hatred. And one day David says, Absalom, I want you to move back into the city of Jerusalem. He's like, all right. He goes, hey, can I meet with my dad? No. Could I meet with my dad? No. Could I meet with my dad? No. Over and over and over again, he tries meeting with his dad, and he's told no. And one day, he tells his servant, he says, hey, will you go? I want you to go and light Joab. Joab was David's right-hand commander. Go and light his fields on fire. So Absalom's servant is like, really? Like light it? Fire? Yeah. So he goes and lights it, and Joab comes to him and says, dude, what's your problem? Why'd you light my field on fire? He goes, all I want to do is talk to my dad. Can you get me a meeting? Can you imagine having to set up a meeting with your dad? Maybe some of you dads in here, that's almost what your kids have to do. So finally he gets an audience with his dad, and it was not satisfying. His dad didn't care. His dad didn't care about him. So he walks away from his dad. Then it says in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 6, it says, Absalom did this with everyone who came to the king for judgment. And it says, and he stole the hearts of all the people. You see what Absalom did after he left his dad? He went to the gates to where all the people would come to try to get an audience with the king, to try to talk to the king. He would say, hey, my dad's too busy. How can I help you? And little by little, the people fell in love with Absalom more than David. Until the point where all the people in the land loved Absalom and David was kicked out. He was kicked out of his own kingdom. He was no longer wanted, no longer loved, and David had to flee for his own life. He had to run through the Kidron Valley and up the Mount of Olives. David had to turn his back on his own son, on his own son's sin. You see, this mountain and this region had the same thing happen many years later of another father who had to turn his back on another son. But not because of that son's sins, but because of the sins of many others. Another father and another son had to go up the same mountain and had to come down the same mountain, except David went up this mountain in fear and came down this mountain in despair. Another son went up this mountain with hope and came down this mountain in victory. So David goes and he goes up to this mountain. And as David is walking up this mountain, it tells us in 2 Samuel, the writer of 2 Samuel says, David walked up barefoot with torn clothes, ashes on his head, weeping because of what had happened to his son. The despair of this father. The heartbrokenness of this father. You see, this father, he is living with the regret of, I should have asked my son forgiveness. Why didn't I ever try to make things right? Why have I always pushed him away? I know I messed up. I know I did things I shouldn't have done. But you see, he never once said, I'm sorry. You see, forgiveness, whether you are not forgiven or whether you are the one not forgiving, will eat you alive. Forgiveness, whether you are the one who is not forgiven, or whether you are the one that is not forgiving, it will eat you alive. It will eat you alive. You truly cannot live unless forgiveness has taken over your heart. You see, true life, I believe, is found in forgiveness. And that forgiveness is only found in Jesus. So then David's mighty men, you see, David takes, the men that go with David to fight with David, to help David, they're the mighty men. It's sort of like the Golden State Warriors. They go and help David. And then for Absalom is left with like Barry Goldwater High School's freshman squad. So that's the difference between the two. You've got the Warriors with David, and then you've got some freshman high school football team fighting for Absalom. That's the difference here. That's the squads. So David's mighty men, they go, hey, David, you know, we just want to let you know, Absalom's coming up the mountain. He's ready to fight you. He's wanting to kill you. And David should have been like, okay, guys, go and kill him. Go annihilate him. I mean, you're talking about, when you read about David's mighty men, these guys, I think it's 2 Samuel chapter 23, 24, something like that. Read the stories about these men. They're amazing guys, what they do, what they would do for their king. Three of them, their king wanted a drink from a well in Bethlehem or in somewhere. And they went and got him a drink at night in the middle of armies. Mighty men. So David's mighty men, they go and they say, hey, David, we just want to let you know Absalom's on his way. And he goes, okay, guys, go ahead and go. But he says this in 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 5. And the king gave them the command to Joab and to Abisha and to another guy who I can't even read his name. So if you're reading the Bible, you're like, I can't read half the names. Neither can I, and I went to school. I mean, don't feel bad. It says, but he says this to him. He says, for my name's sake, deal gently with young Absalom. He doesn't say, because Absalom deserves it, because Absalom was such a good son, because Absalom is anything. He goes, guys, because of my name, because you honor me, because you respect me, because of who I am. And you know what? That's so much like how we can be forgiven, not because we were good enough, not because we tried hard enough, not because we're worthy of being forgiven of anything we've done, but it's because of God's name's sake. It's because of who God is and how much he loves us. That's why we're forgiven. So David says, for my name's sake, guys, please, be merciful with my son. Be merciful with my son. You
See, David should be bitter and angry, but we find him brokenhearted. Because here's what David realizes. There is no way to win a war if you lose your son. David realizes there is no way to win a war if you lose your son. So his mighty men go, and they are, man, they're just annihilating Absalom's army. It's just one after another. They're falling down, and they're taking them out, all these guys who are rebelling against the true king. And then all of a sudden, Absalom is riding away on his donkey. It's crazy. Absalom rode on a donkey in fear. Jesus rode on a donkey in victory. Both donkeys. You just see a lot of correlations here. Absalom's riding one on a donkey, but the problem is Absalom's hair, who he loved this hair. Ladies, it says, it actually, there's two people in the Bible says there's no fault found in them. Absalom in 2 Samuel chapter 14, talking physically no fault. He was a specimen, ladies. He is everything you want. And if you're like, I don't really like guys with long hair, he had every bit of hair you wished you had. His hair, he would weigh his hair. That's how thick and beautiful and long. You, those of you who are hairstylists, you're like, I would love to see hair like that. So did he. He loved to see his hair. He weighed his hair. He would have to cut his hair because his hair was so heavy. It says, as he was riding away, why he was riding on a donkey, I'm like, what kind of loser are you to ride on a donkey? But my king rode on a donkey, so I guess not that big of a loser. His hair gets caught in the branches of a tree. His donkey keeps going, and he's now stuck hanging in the tree. And then comes Joab and his army, and one of Joab's men, one of his armor bearers, says, hey, there's Absalom. What should we do? David said, don't kill him. He says, David doesn't know what he's talking about. David is not right in his mind. He says, give me a spear. So what does he do? He takes that spear and he pierces him through the side. Joab sends a servant, and that servant, he says, hey, go tell David we won. That servant runs as fast as he can. He comes before David. He says, David, David, we won. And David says in 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 32, he goes, what about Absalom? What about my son? Is he all right? And this servant, this guy that goes, this messenger, he's not the sharpest tool in the shed. Have you ever had those people that they have no tact in words? They just sort of say things how they say. It's just, you're like, really? You just said that. My kids can sometimes be like that. Hey, Dad, your belly. I was doing my son's hair. Daddy, your belly's big. Thanks, jerk. I'm like, I know. I'm sorry. I'm poking your face with my belly. I'm doing your hair. Do your own hair, little punk. But I didn't. So this servant, he comes and he said, and David says, hey, how's my son? And he says, David, I wish all your enemies were like your son. We annihilated them. That's not what David wanted to hear. See, David loved his son. It says in 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 33, the king was overcome with emotion. He went up to the room over the gateway and burst into tears. And as he went, he cried, oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom. If only I had died instead of you, oh, Absalom, my son. My son. You see, David wished it was him. He probably wished, I wish I would have had time to say, I'm sorry. I wish I would have had time to make things right. I wish I would have had time to do this. And it didn't matter that he won the battle, he lost the war. You see, I think so many of us, we are living with unforgiveness in our hearts, and it's trapping us, it's holding us, and it is eating us alive. And David in this moment realized he could never go to Absalom again and say, I am sorry, I messed up. If you are living right now with unforgiveness in your heart, do not let another day go by without saying, I'm sorry. Dads in here, your words hold more power than you will ever know. It's okay to say, I'm sorry. I sort of feel like I'm a constant I'm sorry person because I'm always messing up as a dad. But it's so much easier to say I'm sorry for one thing than it is to say I'm sorry after 30. And David now lives with the regret of never being able to say to Absalom, son, I love you. You see, many years later, another dad and another son experienced something very similar. You see, God's heart hurts because of the rebellion, not because of the rebellion of his son, but because of the rebellion of his children, you and I. You see, each and every one of us, we have rebelled against God. We have fought him. We've pushed him away. We say, we don't want you in our life. We don't need you in our life. God, I'm better at controlling this than you are. Like Absalom, I could be a better king than my dad. I can be better at doing this than my dad. I'm a better ruler. I'm a better listener. And David pushed and pushed his dad out. And we have done that with God in our lives. We have pushed him out. We have said, we don't need you. I don't want you. I can do it on my own. And God says, even though you're living in rebellion, I cannot win the war if I lose you. So I will give myself. I will give myself. You see, God is not going to win this war of rebellion at the expense of his children. So he answers David's cry. When David said, if only I had died instead of you, God says, I will die instead of you. Because forgiveness is so much more important. He wants to give you true life, a whole life, a good life. Because true life is only found in forgiveness. And so many of you are trying to find life. You're trying to live life. But true life is only found when God forgives you. See, God desires to give each of us true life. And the only way we can have true life is if we are forgiven for the sins and the things that we've done. If you guys are anything like me, I mess up on a daily basis. And there are some times where guilt and shame hold me and confine me and lie to me and blind me for the kind of person that I am. But the only way I can be set free is when I say, God, forgive me. And he says, done. Done. That's why my son died. You see, just like God is a father, he does not let anything of unforgiveness surround and keep him. He always is quick to forgive. And just like David had a son named Absalom, God had a son named Jesus, but Jesus did not walk in disobedience. He walked in obedience and honor to his father. Not in hate towards the people, not in hate towards the father, but in love for the people and in love for his father. It says Jesus in John chapter 18 verse 1, Jesus, he then goes over the same valley as David did. Jesus crossed the Kidron Valley with his disciples and entered a grove of olive trees. He went up the Mount of Olives, just like David. And David went up in fear, but Jesus went up in hope. David came down in despair, but Jesus came down in victory. Same mountain, two different people. And if you look at the story, Jesus, he crosses over to die. Absalom crosses over to kill. Jesus hangs from a tree. Jesus is pierced in the side, just like Absalom. But why does Jesus do this? You are the reason. Because he loves you. You may not believe it and you may not know it, but Jesus loves you. He cares for you. He died for you. He wants to set you free from your guilt and shame and the things that our minds are so trapped with, the thoughts that hold us, that bind us. Jesus says, I love you. You see, crazy thing is, you know what Absalom's name means? Father of Peace. It was the last thing he brought. He brought turmoil to his entire family. He killed a brother. He tried killing his dad. And he died in rebellion. But who is Jesus? He's the Prince of Peace. And Jesus came to bring peace. And so on that day when Jesus offered himself on a tree, just like Absalom, except Jesus offered freely to die for you and I, to give his life that we might have peace with God. But the ending is nothing like Absalom. You see, Absalom was put into the ground, into a cave, just like Jesus. But the problem is, if we could find where Absalom was, guess what? We could see his bones today. But you know what? I've been to Israel. I've been to the garden tomb, and guess what I saw? An empty tomb. It was empty then, it's empty today, because my Jesus didn't stay there. My Jesus rose and came back to life. That's what my Jesus did, and that's what your Jesus did too. You see, it says in Matthew chapter 28, verses 5 through 6, these people came, they came sad, they came burdened, because they forgot. They forgot what Jesus said. They didn't believe what Jesus says. It says this, then an angel spoke to the woman, "Do not be afraid." He said to her, "I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified." He goes, "I know you're looking for him." He goes, "You're not going to find him." He goes, "He isn't here. He has risen from the dead just like he said." You see, I believe in Jesus because not only did he predict his death, but he predicted his resurrection. And not only did he say he would do it, but he did do it, and we live in that today. And Jesus, this angel says, hey, he's not here. He has risen from the dead, and that's what we get to live in. That's what we celebrate today. That's why we're here today. You're like, why am I at church? Why do I only come and hear the same sort of message every year? Maybe it's because you only come once a year where you hear about Jesus' death and resurrection. But that's okay, because it's the best story. It's the best story. It's why I get to be who I am. It's why I get to live in forgiveness. It's why I get to just experience a good life. You may say, but I don't believe all that. How do we know all that? You know, I was watching this thing about this girl named Madeline McCann. I don't know how many of you remember back in 2007, her parents were on vacation in some other country over on the other side of the water. Can't remember right now. It starts with a P, I think. And she went missing. They have no clue what happened to her. And my wife and I are watching this documentary about her, and one of the investigators talking about the seven friends, talking about the parents that were all on vacation together. And, you know, we can all say, I don't believe this old Jesus thing. Let me tell you what this investigator said about this simple thing. He says, okay, I've seen two people lie about the same story, and they kept the lie going. He goes, I've seen that. He goes, three people, that's possible. Seven people telling the same story and keeping it in line, he goes, it's not possible. Here's the thing with Jesus' story. It wasn't just Peter, James, and John. It wasn't just a bunch of the disciples, but it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that over 500 people saw Jesus alive. It cannot just be a story we made up. It's a story that spread, and that's why I'm here today. That's why many of you are here today, because you believe that Jesus died for you. You believe that he didn't stay dead, but he rose again. That's why we're here. You see, and Jesus just didn't die. He died to give you life. Life. True life. Real life. I believe that not only does Jesus make me better at life, but he makes my life better. I believe that. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. You see, God did what David couldn't. David said, if only I had died instead of you. God says, and I will die instead of you. And I will give you life. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 10, or 5, 8 through 10 says this. 5, 8 through 10 says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Jesus Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation, God's wrath. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. You see, we can now live because of what Jesus did. I don't know what keeps you from God today. I don't know what guilt or shame or unforgiveness keeps you from God today. But I can tell you this, nothing can keep God from loving you anyways. Nothing. I don't know what deep down is growing that you need to get rid of. This week my son Judah has his own lawn business. This guy had hired him, and on the side of this guy's yard were all these weeds. Like, I swear, they were taller than my kids. And I asked him, I said, can we just mow them? I want to just mow them because it's so much easier. He goes, no, I want them pulled up by the roots. You know why he wanted them pulled up by the roots? So they go away. So I don't know what things are deep down inside you that God wants to pull up by the roots. Let him. Let him pull those things by the roots so they go and they're gone. You see, for many of us, those roots are deep in their unforgiveness, their pride, their deep pain. God says, can I set you free? Can I forgive you? Because it's in forgiveness that you can find true life. That's where true life is found. I heard this story a while back about a son and a father, and the son's name was Paco. And the son just did not want to obey or honor his dad. He wanted to do anything and everything he wanted. And we don't know whether the father kicked him out or whether the son said, peace out, I'm done with you, dad, I'm moving out, and the son leaves. Well, the dad loved his son. And he so wanted to have that relationship back with his son. He didn't want to have anything come in between he and his son, Paco. And so one day, this dad, he had no idea how to find his son. They lived in Madrid, and Madrid had millions of people. So what he did is he took out an advertisement. And the advertisement said this, Paco, meet me at the Hotel Montaña at noon on Tuesday. All is forgiven. Love, Papa. So the dad is so anxiously looking forward to Tuesday, and he finally goes and he gets there a few hours early just to prepare himself for that moment where he'd see his son, and he's sitting in that cafe area of the hotel, and he's sitting there, and then one by one, Paco comes in. 800 Pacos from Madrid come. 800 sons hoping that their fathers would offer them forgiveness. 800 sons came hoping that they could make things right, waiting for their fathers, waiting for forgiveness, things that they never thought would happen. And finally, their dad, though it wasn't their dad, but the thing is, knowing they could be forgiven, it made them right. Maybe you are that Paco. And maybe inside your own soul, you need to be made right with God. And you feel like you can't. You may feel like your Heavenly Father no longer loves you or accepts you. Your guilt, your shame, your conviction, it holds you back and it keeps you from Him, and it's a lie from the pit. The truth is that Jesus paid for every sin you ever or will ever commit, that He loves you. And He didn't just pay by dying, but He confirmed the payment by rising again so that you might have forgiveness. You see, today we celebrate because Jesus rose from the dead, that we all might walk in true life. If you truly want to live, here's what I found. True life is found in forgiveness, and forgiveness is only found in the love of God. You know, I know that there are some in here today where you're really struggling, you're working through what's going on in your heart, and you realize something is tugging, you realize something's eating at you, and it's not a bad eating, it's a good eating. You realize something is stirring in you where forgiveness is possible, where restoration is possible, where freedom is possible, and you realize that this battle, this war you've been fighting, that you can actually give up, and you can quit, you can wave your white flag, and you say, I give up, God, I realize you love me, and I realize forgiveness is possible. Maybe that's you today. I just want to say, man, giving up was the best thing I ever did. It's the best thing I do every day when I say, God, I can't, but I know you can. Giving up is the best thing I can do as a father, as a husband, as a friend, when I say, I can't be the best, but God, you can. Will you help me? And if that's you this morning, if you realize that Jesus loves you, that He died on a cross for you specifically, that people have been praying for you, that you would come today, if you believe that today, I ask that you'd pray with me. Jesus loves you. He died on a cross for you, that your sins might be taken away, that your sins might be washed clean, and that you might be set free. I ask that you pray with me. Say, Dear God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for running. I'm sorry for fighting. I'm sorry for pushing you out of my life. But God, I welcome you in. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. Thank you for loving me. I believe in your son, Jesus, that he died on a cross, not just for the person next to me, but for me. Help me to live for you now, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed with me this morning, if you guys would please keep your eyes closed and your heads bowed, if you prayed with me this morning, I ask that you'd raise your hand so I can pray for you. Is there anybody in here? You prayed. Awesome. Anybody else? Awesome. Don't be ashamed. It's the coolest thing. I did it. When I did it years ago. I am so glad I did. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's the coolest thing you could ever do. Today is one of the greatest days to celebrate new life. Anybody else in here? I see your hands. I see your hands. I see your hands. Awesome. Anybody else? I see your hands. Keep them up. I see your hands. Dear God, you see these lives change. Lord, I pray, God, that you wouldn't just show them how much you love them today, God, but may they see how much you love them tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and next month and next year and each and every day, Lord. May they realize that you love them, that you've forgiven them, that you've set them free from their guilt and shame, and God, that they have new life, that they have true life that was found in forgiveness today. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Get up for Jesus right now.
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX or go to CityViewPHX.com.